Thanks for downloading the free feed of Sunday night's main event. If you like what we're doing here on the show and you want more podcasts in your podcatcher, well, give our Patreon a try. And it's a free month. February is Freebrewery. So head on over to patreon.com/snmeradio. Sign up and I will immediately refund your $4 for this month, just so you can give us a try. You'll get not only this show, the whole show, commercial free, but along with that, you'll get All Elite Weekly with Dan Lavransky and Joe Aguinaldo. You'll also get the special that's coming up for Saudi Arabia with myself and bartender Dave. You'll get my trivia show. You'll get Mouth Music Show. And you'll also get the Midweek Markout, which just started last week. And you get access to all of our archives as well. 1 month free. Well, 15 days free now. Freebrewery. Sign up. Patreon.com/SNMEradio. Give it a try. Why not?
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
Look, I don't know what's going to happen tonight, but boy, is it exciting.
With Dan the Mo Flabransky.
Everyone has a price.
And Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
In clear violation of the law.
For the first time ever, we are coming at you live after an NXT pay-per-view on a Sunday night. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio. My name is Jason Agnew, joined, of course, by Dan the Mouth Lavransky, and this week we've got a vampire contender, a transgender champion, and an NXT card mouth that was so overbooked, it felt like we went through an encyclopedia of finishes before the main event ended.
Oh, man, that main event, yeah, went about 10 minutes way too long. But we'll get into all the details. We got to talk about Poppy. We got to talk about all of it, ladies and gentlemen.
Poppy is your lead.
We got the big rundown here on the show, so stay tuned. We're going to go through the whole entire first time ever on a Sunday night NXT.
You got it. Plus, we've got Dave Meltzer, a third round Diva edition of Turnbuckle Trivia in the tournament, and your phone calls. You can get on the line right away if you like. We're live tonight. 1-866-729-2562 is the number. That's 1-866-729-2562. Write it down. Get ready to use it. We're going to take a break and come back, give you our thoughts first on tonight's show, and then get into a whole bunch of your feedback. You are listening to Sunday night's main event right after a live NXT pay-per-view here on TSN Radio.
Hello, Gordy LeVac here. No one swings and hacks like I do. And no one struts quite like I do too. And no one brews beer like Great Lakes do. Canuck Pale Ale. My beer, your beer. Our beer. Available in over 400 LCBO and grocery store across Ontario for only $2.80. Great Lakes Brewery, brewed for you, Ontario.
A fairy tale ending by Ciampa, but no referee. Gargan can't come home yet.
Oh, hold on.
Well, Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa's former partner, the former NXT Tag Team Champions. Oh, my God. Adam Cole covering Tommaso Ciampa.
And it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
History repeating it is, because it looks like we're headed right back to Gargano and Ciampa once again. That was the finish of tonight's NXT TakeOver Portland pay-per-view. Welcome back. You're listening to Sunday night's main event. We are live here on TSN 1150. Mouth, you know, we watched this show. They did a three-hour show with a half-hour pre-show, which was completely unnecessary.
Useless, yeah.
But just over 3 hours, I think, is where it got into play here. They did six matches tonight, and I got to say, I really enjoyed a lot of it. But in classic NXT style, the main event ended for me about 6 minutes before it ended for everyone else.
Yeah, well, it, for me, it ended right before the Undisputed Era came out. There were a couple of spots there that they did that looked really great with Ciampa, and I'm like, okay, this is it. Great, perfect. Let's end it right here. And then they came out, and of course, and if that wasn't enough, they came out, then a ref bump, and then the stuff with Johnny Gargano. Yeah. So it was a bit of a cluster at the end, but, you know, overall, I definitely have to give it a thumbs up. I mean, overall, the show was pretty entertaining.
Yeah, it really was.
You know, with one match to me that was absolutely outstanding.
Oh, man, we shall get there. What a match that was.
Yeah, it was good.
All righty, well, let's get into it. You know, the match that I think, I'd say actually tonight, you look down this card, and this you know, you can't say it's there's no chance of it being a bad card, but you look at this, and it just seemed like everything was going to go great.
Yes.
It had every reason to be an outstanding card, and I think it did deliver tonight. Kicking things off with the North American Championship, Keith Lee, who's your champion going in, versus Dominik Dijakovic. These two, my only criticism is the fact that these two have worked together so much that I wasn't that excited to see this match again.
Right.
And for two guys that have worked together so much, slightly off in bits and pieces, I thought, Mouth.
Yeah, I thought it was an okay match, an okay match. I didn't think it was great. I mean, it was what you'd kind of expect, the big guys doing the power moves with each other, and they do have great moves, you know, like Dominik with the corkscrew moonsault and things like that. And,
it's amazing, you know, that these two guys are both like 300 pounds, and they're wrestling like cruiserweights. I mean, I don't often say this, but I think seeing these two in the ring would be more impressive live, simply because you'll get a better gauge of their size if you are close.
Sure. Oh, yeah. No, it's definitely going to look more impressive if you're there in the arena with them as well. But, I mean, it was a great match. They did lots of good spots. It's just like you said, there were certain parts where I just thought they didn't really quite gel. And I didn't feel the crowd was really into this one as much as they were in later in the show. I thought they popped when they would do a big spot, but they didn't. There's a lot of parts where I thought they were really kind of just sitting on their hands. But anyways, the finish of the match, Lee wins with the Big Bang Catastrophe, and he pins them. And they gave Dijakovic most of the match, so you kind of knew that Lee was going to come out on top.
Well,
here,
what I thought towards the end of this match was I would have been happy if the finish was Dijakovic's Spanish Fly off the top. Mm. I mean, to me, that's an incredible move for two guys of this size to do, and that's where the match could have finished for me. But, you know, I say that, though I agree, Keith Lee should not have lost this championship.
Exactly.
He just got it.
Yeah.
He's very much a hot character right now. They needed this to proceed forward. So hopefully these two guys, they've done this match. Let's take some time off from these two together.
I think they will, because they did the kind of like hug there at the end. They kind of did the respect thing. So I would guess that it's over between these two guys, at least for the time being. But not as great as I thought it would be, but still not a bad match.
Women's Street Fight was the second match in here, and it was Dakota Kai versus Tegan Nox. Dakota Kai's heel turn has been everything to me that Bayley's was not.
Yeah.
You had essentially mouth identical characters of, you know, the ones that, you know, the little kids like, and then just a vicious heel turn. And as this was happening, because these two have brawled at every opportunity except when WWE main roster screwed them up and they didn't touch in the Rumble, but every other time they've gotten together, they've brawled. And Tegan Nox came out on the ramp or on the walkway there, and I said to you,
yes,
she cannot make it to the ring. Like, where's Dakota? Why isn't? And before I finished, Dakota Kai is out and attacking her. It was a great start. This was very much a plunder street fight match.
Oh, yeah. No, we had everything. We had, you know, Tegan Nox using a cricket bat at one point. We had trash can lids. There was one shot where Nox wailed the garbage can on Kai's head, which I just thought was way too hard of a
unprotected
a shot.
Headshot.
Yeah, with the lid of the can. And, I mean, she really wailed her with it, too. I don't think we really need to be doing stuff like that. But, yeah, Nox suplexed Kai on a garbage can at one point. And the crowd really did dig this match. They were chanting for both people throughout it. There was one spot that was kind of lame, I thought, where Kai taped Nox to the ring post and tried to give her a couple of kicks, and she did such a sloppy job of tying her to the post that she just actually fell and the tape just fell away. So I thought that thing was kind of weird. And I thought it was weird Knox using a laptop. On Kai's bad knee, which is already in the brace. There was a chain in there. The finish was interesting in this one because I was kind of confused myself. Knox was about to break Kai's neck. She had it in the chair, that classic thing they do where they put the neck in the chair, and she was going to do the stomp on it. And then Raquel Gonzalez came out and went after Knox and put her through the table, and this allowed Dakota Kai to pin her. I'm confused here. Is there some sort of alliance with these two? Gonzalez hasn't been on NXT in a long time.
Well, she hasn't been. I mean, she was part of the Mae Young Classic both years.
Well, she was on a couple times, like last year, and I remember in little things here and there, but I don't remember seeing her lately.
Well, the crowd thought her name was Who Are You, from what I could tell.
Well, did you see the crowd was kind of quiet for this part? They didn't really seem to know what was going on.
If the announcers didn't tell me, I wouldn't have known who this was.
No, I wouldn't have either.
Exactly. Imagine being there live.
Right.
The crowd doesn't know what's happening. Dakota gets the pin here. It was an entertaining match, Mouth. I have to say, I did like the intensity.
That's
that
what
these
I was going to say, the intensity.
I like the intensity that these two have together when they're in the ring, but in particular, I think I enjoyed what they did in their basic match on NXT, just like the TV show a couple weeks ago when the first time the knee brace was used as a weapon. I really liked what they showed in that match. They showed it here as well. It was just a lot of plunder. And of course, when you're dealing with an interference finish of a new character, it didn't necessarily pull everything together at the end.
No, when you do stuff cold like that, it's really, really hard. There should have been, I don't know if you could have done some sort of tease on the TV or something that you would, so it's not just, so at least we know, or even if we just saw her in some regular matches over the last couple of weeks so we'd know who she is.
Or vignettes or something like that, just to say she's coming and then this can be some sort
of
debut.
You could have done it that way, yeah.
All right, so match number three is Finn Balor versus Johnny Gargano. I could tell right when this match started, they started so slow that I was just thinking, oh boy. These guys are getting some time,
yeah.
And they did. We had a lot of long matches tonight. This one in particular, going about half an hour.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I loved it. I mean, of course you know these two guys are going to have a stellar match with each other. They know how to work with each other. And the crowd was super hot for both of these guys. They did all kinds of stuff. They did a great spot where Balor did the dragon screw leg whip while he had Gargano over the top rope, which I thought looked really, really cool. They brawled on the outside. They did stuff with the announce tables. Balor did this great drop kick where he ran across the one announce table and Gargano was standing on the other and knocked him down into the barrier. And Finn ends up winning with the 1916 DDT for the pin. They got in each other's faces at the end, and basically Balor put super heel at the end. He was proclaiming, I am the Prince of NXT, and this is my place, and he walked away
dominating.
Well,
Balor won clean. I mean, Balor won absolutely clean here. Did that surprise you?
No, not really.
No?
No, not really. No, well, not after what I saw happen in the main event.
Well, okay. No, but I'm talking about let's go back halfway when we're not fully through this, but Balor wins clean.
No, you know what? I'm not.
Strong, looks like making his way right back up to the title picture. And if you're, I'm thinking WWE's thought process is Mania Weekend is coming up. That's going to be the next takeover.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing that they want Balor in that main event to be the performer that fans of the main roster still recognize for being there.
Yeah, they're keeping him really, really strong. In fact, they're keeping him much stronger in NXT than they ever did when he was on the main roster.
Of course.
I guess that's not saying much, is it?
No, that really isn't. Kathy Kelly, for her final night, because she is leaving the company, is backstage with the Undisputed Era. Her first question is asking Roderick Strong about Velveteen Dream. A match that's not happening tonight.
Nope.
When Cole, O'Reilly, and Fish are all in
there.
The room.
Yeah.
So Roddy says, he makes it very clear that that's not happening tonight. And then Adam Cole tells Kathy Kelly to leave. And that'll be the last time we see her, I think.
I like the way Strong said that the Undisputed Era were the baddest team on God's green earth. A little Harley Race there.
Harley Race thrown into the mix.
I like that.
NXT Women's Championship is next. Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair. Bianca, on the back of her robe, has Black History in the Making written, which is fantastic.
Yes.
In particular, doing this in February, which is Black History Month. I love this so much. What a great little gimmick, and she had it on her tights as well. I thought it was it really played nicely.
Well, and she was even dressed kind of like a black African princess when she came
That's
out.
That's right, with the jewelry
with the
as
neck,
well.
The neck yeah. piece and the earrings and everything. So she was really playing it up.
It was strange at the beginning of this match to see Rhea out-muscle Bianca, because normally what is played out is the strength of Bianca. And we did see that later in the match, but I think part of the story off the top was finally she's in the ring
That's
with
right.
someone that can equal her
That's
strength,
right.
and she's not going to throw Rhea around like she's done to all her other opponents.
I think that's exactly what they were trying to do. And that was good. That was good because you are so used to it and you want to see her get a challenge. And it's like, finally, okay, now she's got someone that's going to challenge her. I mean, I, again, the match was great.
This is Bianca's best match that she has had in NXT.
Yeah.
And proves how far she's come along, because the last time we saw her up for a championship was when she was in the ring with Shayna Baszler, and that match was
not
like a
good.
Fart in church.
Yeah, it was not
this
good
one
at all.
Was...
This was really great, man. It was so stiff and intense. They're doing the face slaps. They're using the spears. There was one where Belair flipped Ripley over the top, and Ripley landed really hard. It looked like she was supposed to land on her feet, but she ended up landing on her tailbone instead. That looked like it hurt. Belair did this great flying Topokanhilo right after that. I liked how the finish went too. Ripley had Belair up on the post and banged her head off the ring post, and then got the riptide and pinned her. Again, great match. And then at the ending, we had Charlotte actually came out and attacked Ripley and revealed that she would take Ripley on for the title at WrestleMania, and she attacked Belair as well just to keep the heel heat going there. So that's your women's title match there that Charlotte's picking after winning the Rumble too.
Yeah. Do you think it's on Mania or do you think it's on NXT? I guess it's on Mania. Yet another match there. Because to me, this is main eventing TakeOver on WrestleMania weekend, is putting Charlotte on that card to draw people in. But I'm sure that would really make Charlotte upset as well to not be on WrestleMania.
Yeah,
so
that's
I guess
a tough
you have to put
one.
This on WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think it should be on the TakeOver show, though, myself. I really do. But you're right. I don't think Charlotte's going to not want to be on Mania. So you're probably right. It happens there. But I thought it was a great match between the two of them. I really enjoyed it. I agree with you. I think it was Belair's best match.
Yeah. From that, you know, you go out of one excellent match, and there was a real build here with this card. But... my goodness, did we hit the peak of the mountain.
Yeah, this was
for
great.
This next match.
This was the match of the night, I thought.
NXT Tag Team Championship, Undisputed, Fish and O'Reilly versus the Broserweights.
Yes,
sorry,
Broserweights.
Riddle and Dunn. This program, here's another reason why this was so good, Mouth. This program has had everything. You have two charismatic teams. They've of course, Undisputed Era is solid with the gold. They've lucked into the tag team of the Broserweights. Because they've lucked into it, they've done the comedy with it. It's worked.
Yeah, but it works because the personalities are right.
Right. No, like, this is what I mean.
Yeah,
but
you've got your hard ass and you've got your goofball. And it's the odd couple. It totally works.
So it's worked. And along with it working, they haven't... The NXT bookers have not tried to buck the trend.
No.
They've used the comedy, but tonight there was a little bit of comedy off the top, but when they got in the ring, it was gone.
Oh, no, the match. Well, no, this, yeah,
was,
this was killer.
It was a great storyline. There's motivation. I cared about all the guys in the ring, and the in-ring action was phenomenal. This was, to me, pretty much the perfect match.
I just want to know how they got their golf cart there. That's
well,
all.
Well, you know.
That was my only question after the vignettes we saw.
They put it on Vince's plane.
It was so great. They did the fish fry stuff off the top to play on that, because they had it on their t-shirts. And if you notice, there were people in the crowd that had the sign. And just for fun, the old school sing along with Mitch Miller, they put the lyrics across the bottom and had a bouncing fish over top of the lyrics. And then after that, that was it. Once the match got started, because that was it, Fish and O'Reilly went nuts and attacked them. They brawled all over the place without even the match getting started. You know, they worked over Dunn for a while. Riddle got the hot tag, ran wild. Crowd was totally into the whole thing. I really liked in this one, there was tons of them. It's like they all knew each other's big spots and were constantly breaking them up, which I really liked. I thought worked worked really well in this match. There was this great spot with Fish on Riddle's back with a sleeper, and then O'Reilly had Dunn in the Scorpion Deathlock, and Riddle actually made it over and gave O'Reilly a kick, and he dropped Fish on his back. I mean, I thought that was really, really great spot. There was so much good stuff in this one. There was one part where Fish got a near fall that seemed like the finish, but nope, Dunn kicked out from that. And then there was a couple of spots where they messed up with each other, where Dunn accidentally knocked Riddle to the floor, and then Riddle came back in. He accidentally speared Dunn, but they end up getting back together. They get on the same page. They do the stereo knee kicks into the fireman's carry finish, and Riddle pinned Fish, and they win the titles. I just thought it was amazing.
It was great.
Like, you know, really, really well done, you know?
Yeah, and so you have new tag champs. You've got the Broserweights as your tag champs. You might as well, you know, think long term here, right? This is going to be a stage of their career. Who knows how long it's going to last.
Right.
But while it's hot, let it go.
Yes.
There's plenty of time for these guys to have their solo careers.
And but the thing about it is, you let that go long and people love them. When you split them up, people know who both guys are.
Yep.
And both guys have a pedigree at that point. This is a classic thing that they used to do in the past, where that's what they would do with two guys, is put them in a tag team, establish them as a strong tag team, and then eventually have some kind of feud to break them apart or separate them or whatever, so that when you do it, both guys are kind of on equal footing and they'll be able to survive as solo stars because the crowd so dug them as a tag team.
NXT Championship match was our main event tonight. Match number 6 on the card. It's Adam Cole as your champion going in versus Tommaso Ciampa. Will Goldie come home is the question. And
35 this, minutes.
Well,
35 minutes.
And
long.
It should have been 28. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's already what we had mentioned about this. It's classic NXT booking, classic NXT
for the main event
overbooking.
Yeah.
But I mean, it came to a point where you went 25 minutes in, and this was a great match.
Oh no, I'm
oh
like,
my
exactly.
goodness.
Oh no, I'm not complaining about the match. I mean, again, so many great spots in this. There was one early on where Ciampa had Cole on the outside. He put him on the announcer's chair, and he did a flying knee, and then he kissed some bald guy in the crowd, which I thought was awesome. The guy totally loved it. I think that made his night. He might get the lip mark tattooed on his forehead. The guy was so excited. But they did, you know, Cole gave him a suplex onto the table. Ciampa hit him in the back of the neck and the shoulders. They really played up Ciampa's neck injury.
Did they
that was
ever.
That was the story in this one. They kept going after the neck, kept going after the neck. And there was a couple real nasty spots too, like Ciampa powerbombing Cole on the announce table, but it didn't break. But then he did it the second time and it did break. There was, you know, Cole was doing a crazy dives to the outside, which he really doesn't usually do is not that much. There was stuff, you know, Ciampa giving Cole that crazy kind of backwards pile driver on the apron. Ciampa using a crossface at one point, and then it starts to get into like where Jay and I are kind of like, okay, now this is
The moment it hit for me is when you had the Panama Sunrise done on the outside.
Right.
And then this was, of course, Cole to Ciampa. Ciampa is thrown back in, and all of a sudden he's fine. There's absolutely no selling of this devastating move. That's his finisher.
Yeah.
That's done on the outside. It's an extra hard service. Ciampa gets up. He's just fine. And then I forget what he dropped Cole with after that. And that, to me, was pulling the string of the sweater that everything unraveled, because it was immediately after that that you had Undisputed Era show up. And I can't stand when four guys are there
and one guy
who's just wrestled for 30 minutes can somehow take out all of them.
This was not good. The Undisputed Era come out. Strong distracted the ref. Fish and O'Reilly went after Ciampa and threw him back in. Cole pinned him, but Ciampa kicks out, and then he took on all four guys, as Jay said. Went on too long. And then after that, there was a ref bump, and then Ciampa, of course, gets the visionary pin with the crowd, you know, counting to 20. And then all of a sudden, Gargano comes down, and he looks like he's going to help. The belt is there in the ring, and it looks like he's going to help and hand Ciampa the belt, but Ciampa grabs it, but so does Gargano, and then he takes it and he corks Ciampa with it, and so that allows Cole to pin Ciampa. So Cole keeps the belt, and I guess we go back to Gargano versus Ciampa.
I think what I've pulled out of this, my prediction is what's going to happen is we have a four-way main event for TakeOver WrestleMania weekend, and it's going to be Cole, Gargano,
Ciampa
and Balor.
They put Balor in there too.
Balor was so strong that's true. I think Balor's in there. So that's your four way. That's what I think
really?
Is going to happen.
Interesting.
My thought is, what do you think is going to happen? What did you think of tonight's show? We want to know. We're live tonight on TSN 1150. So you can give us a call at 1-866-729-2562. Those are our thoughts. Great show. A lot overbooked in the main event.
In the main event, for sure, yeah.
Other than that, great show. 1-866-729-2562. We're going to take a break. We're going to come on back and take your phone calls about NXT TakeOver Portland and anything else that's on your mind, because we'll dive into the week of wrestling television as well. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. You're doing so on TSN Radio. Thanks for listening to the free feed of Sunday Night's Main Event. Remember, we're in the midst of February, and if you'd like to get this whole show commercial free, it is Freebrewery. Just head on over to patreon.com/SNMEradio. Sign up for the Buck a Show level, and I will refund your money right away.
Oh, Tom landing on his feet. Tag was made by Riddle. Pop up. Roundhouse kicks in stereo. Riddle is the legal man for the Bruiserweights. Final flash to Fish.
Strikes, but O'Reilly to the outside.
Fish with the... Oh, wow! Bruiserweights! Bruiserweights are the new NXT champion!
The odd couple of NXT capitalizing and winning the tag team championships tonight. Welcome back, Sunday Night's Main Event. Jason Agnew here, Dan Lavransky with me, of course, for the first time ever coming at you for a Sunday Night NXT pay-per-view, the first ever Sunday Night NXT pay-per-view.
Do you think this keeps up? Do you think these keep happening?
Interesting question. It depends really on what they
how well
want
they
to
do, I guess.
Yeah, and I noticed there wasn't as much Twitter traffic tonight
as a regular pay-per-view
compared to a WWE or AEW pay-per-view. That is, it does still, I think, feel a little bit secondary. I think it's a matter of if they can grab the people that are watching the TV and bring them to watch this. But will those fans go out of their way to do so? I don't know. Is it going to be part of their Sunday night routine?
So do you think the show tonight was a direct result of the fact that NXT is on TV every week now on USA? Do you think they would have done this if it was still on just on the network all the time?
I don't know the rationale behind putting it on Sunday, and I can't remember when it was scheduled, if it was before or after that. I mean, I personally enjoy it being on a Sunday night. I'm just used to the routine.
Of course. But I was really surprised at first, and I was trying to figure out why in particular you wanted to do, and this show in particular as well, so close to Mania. I'm like, why do you want to do one on a Sunday? You know, you have such great success with them on those big show weekends, you know?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if you want to do more of them, if you want to have, you know, more pay-per-views for this brand other than just the four they were doing. I mean, this is separate, too. Taking a look at this pay-per-view tonight and the ratings together, how many people tune in on WWE Network, will be a bit of an indication in regards to how well NXT is doing, because they don't have the blanket. Like, you know,
The parents. It's not a big weekend where you're kind of aware of all the things that are going on. Yeah, no, I'm very curious to see how this one did tonight. Yeah.
Okay, so we just played the clip of Pete Dunne and Matt Riddle winning there. A couple people came at me on the Twitter and Facebooks of the world, the social medias during the show, and asked, hey, what about the fact that these are two singles guys and they have worked together not very long and they've beat an established team? Does that bother you? Because that bothers a lot of people when individuals are put into a tag team.
It doesn't bother me because they're both super talented guys. I love the pairing. So, I mean, I don't have a problem with that issue, the fact that they haven't been a team very long and they beat the champions. They're both, we already know that both guys are super talented wrestlers. I mean, we've already seen great singles matches with both guys.
Yeah, I feel as though my defense to this is I do feel as though these two blend better than past. What was it, like Samoa Joe and Finn Balor won the Dusty Classic?
Right.
I can't remember what pairing it was. I think it was that. And I was like, well, why are these two together?
Right.
That's weird.
Yeah.
This happened, and I thought it was really weird. I didn't agree with these two being put together. Then I started watching them in vignettes. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, there's something. Now, if you watch the fact that they are in vignettes together and complimenting one another, they've been given a name. They've been given a golf cart. And on top of that, they had matching gear tonight, too. Did you notice that?
Yes, they did. Yes.
There is definitely perhaps it may not have been the original plan, but I think what has happened here is because they have gelled so well.
It's caught on too.
This has worked out, and I don't have a problem with it because now they got to take it and run. The other thing, you wanted to talk about the Mania main event and contradict what I was saying.
Well, yeah, before the break, you were saying that you think it's going to be a four-way there with Cole and Balor and Gargano and... who am I missing? Cole, Gargano,
Ciampa.
Right.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think so. I think they'll go two separate matches, and I think it'll just be Cole and Balor on their own, and then we go back to Ciampa and Gargano, because if you think about NXT history, Jay, it's one of the biggest feuds in NXT history, right?
Yeah, I've seen it too much.
Well,
I want to see it again.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of people that will want to see it again. I think you're going to be the exception.
I really do.
I do think, honestly, because they're so strong. It's think about it like this. To me, it's almost like those classic feuds in the past where guys like Flair and Dusty. You could always go back to Flair and Dusty, right, and people would seem to be interested. Hogan and Piper. You could always go back to that and people seem to be interested. So I think because it's such a big part of NXT, and I think the diehard NXT fan is going to love seeing these guys back together, because I think some of them also think the feud never ended properly.
Because of injury.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Right, so you never got to kind of see the culmination.
I think part of the problem why I'm tired of it as well is those may have been actually the first matches of the extreme overbooking that we complained about
that
tonight.
That is true. No, you know what? You're right, because we talked about that while we were watching the pay-per-view, that there was that one in particular, the last man standing with Gargano and Ciampa, that was way overbooked. Yeah. Way overbooked. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. I think also, too, the interest is, because aren't the rules reversed? Now Gargano's going to be the heel and Ciampa's going to be the babyface.
Oh,
it looks
great.
Like.
All right. Well, whatever. Let's
Jay's
go. To,
not,
I'm not.
Jay's in, not buying
not
it, ladies
buying
and gentlemen.
This. I am not interested.
Jay's
in
not
this.
Buying it.
Let's go to the phones. 1-866-729-2562. Jeremy's back at the studio answering your phones, putting you on the air. We're going to start things off. It's a live show. You know who's going to call, and it's going to be Hansy on the line to kick things off. Hansy, how are you, bud?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Listen, I enjoyed this takeover, but I kind of share your guys' sentiment about, like, you know, the main event. Like I said, the last time I called in about, like, you know, the people complaining about Bray Wyatt, is that people complain about Bray Wyatt not selling finishers. I know people don't like seeing him wrestle that much anyways, whatever, right? But when, like, they're doing, like, 80 finishers, it kind of takes me out a little bit of the match. You know what I mean? And also, I think why I'm not looking forward to Ciampa and Gargano again, like, even though it's a really good rivalry, I think because, like, last year when Ciampa got injured, it kind of killed off their feud and they became friends randomly. So, like, already that kind of, like, a little bit ruined it for me a little bit. So, like, now that they're randomly feuding again, I don't know, it just doesn't really, I'm not really looking forward to it, but I'm sure, like, you know, they'll do good storytelling.
Yeah.
And I also want to say the Bianca Belair thing, I know people want Rhea versus Charlotte. I thought because Bianca has stepped up her presence on NXT, especially with that segment with Charlotte and Rhea, I thought they should have called an audible and they should have done a triple threat for Mania. That's just my personal opinion.
All right, thanks for the call, Hansy. I mean, he's not the only one mouth to say the triple threat. Bianca's been thrown into this mix and looked very strong. Obviously, we had the Rumble appearance. That was incredible.
Yes.
And then tonight was very much a proving ground tonight for her. I mean, this match was the best I have ever seen her.
I agree. I thought the two of them worked together really well.
Let's go back to the phones, and it's going to be to Joe in Toronto. Hey, Joe, welcome to the show.
Dan and Jay, what's going on?
Oh, it's Joe Aguinaldo.
I knew it. When I saw Joe from Toronto, I knew it would be Joe.
You know, Joe, you host this show sometimes. You have a microphone as opposed to a phone a lot of the time. But you were angry tonight because you were on the Twitter and people were thinking it was me with overbooking, right?
You know what? Like, here's the thing. The card was great. I dug every match up until about the last, I want to say, 12 minutes of... Yeah. Ciampa versus Cole. After that, it was like, this is stupid. I can't handle this. So, and Jay, I'm with you. I absolutely do not want to see Gargano and Ciampa again. I'm done with that feud.
Okay, well,
there's another person, Matt.
I guess I'm going to be proven wrong. Well, we'll see what they do. I personally think that they would rather just have a one-on-one for the title match. I don't see them doing a four-way.
Well, you
want
to talk about a rivalry, guys. We have one here on the show, because I'll reveal it now. The
six-pack
challenge tonight. The six-pack challenge was the Fatal Filipino Fight Part 2, or Part 3, and it was Joe versus Mark Andrade, and you guys, in six matches, dead on 3-3. You made all of your picks perfect tonight. Both of you did. So that means this feud, much like Ciampa and Gargano, must continue.
Talk about overbooking.
I know, right?
Oh, my God.
Thank you for the phone call, Joe. Joe, of course, you can hear with Dan Lavransky on All Elite Weekly each and every week. Along with that, he'll be back in, I believe, 2 weeks in studio with me hosting this show. Listen, Mouth, let's take a break here. Let's come on back, and we'll still be taking phone calls about this or anything else, but along with that, we're going to dive into some of the TV this week, because there's a new vampire in town, and we got to talk about it. We'll do that next. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. You're doing so on TSN Radio.
Sunday Morning Trivia with Jason Agnew.
The top eight answers are on the board. Name a type of drop.
Drop kick?
The greatest answer we will get on the show today, drop kick, is not here. Probably would have been where my brain went, though. Let's be honest here. Next.
Sundays at 9 a.m. on News Talk 1010.
Oh, Tom landing on his feet. Tag was made by Riddle. Pop up. Roundhouse kicks in stereo. Riddle is the legal man for the Bruiserweights. Final flash to Fish. Tandem offense there.
Stereo strikes, but O'Reilly to the outside.
Fish with the... Oh, wow! Bruiser... Oh, no! What the world?
Shayna Baszler is biting Becky Lynch!
Shut up, ref! Freaking vampire! Get her out of there!
When was the last time I had an excuse to play Gangrel's music on the show, Mouth?
Absolutely. I know. It's been like decades for sure.
Well, that is Monday Night, Monday Night Raw, the clip that we got there. Shayna Baszler's debut. Yes, something we've been waiting for, something I think that I was looking forward to. I think this is the proper match for WrestleMania. Shayna and Becky, that's the right way to go. What's going on?
Yeah, I hated this. I thought, now I want to let me set this up a bit here, because this is what I've heard during the week, and I don't know if this is true or not, but this is apparently Paul Heyman, and he's a big fan of Fred Blassie.
Mm-hmm.
And when Fred Blassie used to wrestle in Japan, because he was always biting guys on the forehead, they called him the blonde vampire. And Heyman's always been a big Blassie fan, so I think maybe he's motivated by this. But this was ridiculous. Shayna Baszler...
She's not blonde.
No.
That's your main point, right?
She can't
be the blonde vampire because she's not blonde.
No, she can't be a vampire, period. This is ridiculous. She's a hard, fast MMA badass. Why would you go and ruin all of that by giving her this silly... Do you know how... Well, you do know. She looked incredibly stupid with all that blood all over her face.
It
looked so comic book. It wasn't funny. And it's just ridiculous. Why couldn't she come out and put her in an arm bar, stretcher or something, play off her gimmick? Why is it when anyone comes up from NXT, or almost everyone comes up from NXT, they get swamped with something that has nothing to do with what they've already established? She's established. And Heyman, of all people, he knows his MMA. He understands that stuff. He used that stuff all the time in ECW. I don't know.
Hey, I think Brock Lesnar is a pretty good example of how to book an MMA performer.
Like, I don't understand it at all. And I really, really hated it. Because to me, I just went, oh my God, another NXT star is getting given the WWE goofball treatment here. I just hated it. I thought it was horrible.
Shayna Baszler is a quality character and was established very well in NXT.
And quickly.
Now, I also, I think that, okay, it was bad. All right, it was bad on Monday. But I think that everyone that has gone crazy with the vampire, blah, 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 I don't actually think that's the way they're going. I just think they had Shayna bite her to show how savage she is.
I don't think they're trying to make say Gangrel, that she's a vampire. It was daylight. She can't be a vampire.
Oh,
Come on, Jay. Where
I'm
you been?
Sorry.
She can't be a vampire. Come on.
Okay.
It was the middle of the day. She would have burned up in the sun.
So
no, it's just a show. She's silent.
Well, it wasn't
sure.
the middle of the day, actually. I mean, it was
it's
inside.
In a fully lit arena.
It wasn't.
Oh, no,
it was
work.
At night.
It wouldn't
was,
work.
Your theory
no,
has just been it blown.
It wouldn't
Get
work.
Out the damn garlic no. and the steaks.
No. No, 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 no. I agree with you. They're trying to show that she's savage.
Yeah.
But it was the wrong way to... Why not... She just runs there and then puts on a super wicked armbar. Does that not show that she's savage? Like, I don't know. I really don't understand it. When everything was there already, you didn't need to add the ketchup. Everything was already there.
Yeah, an established character and really no need to do this. And also, if you look at...
And who bites anyone on the back of the neck? I have never seen a vampire movie or read a vampire novel in my life where they bit them on the back of the neck.
On top of that, MMA fighters... Biting, aside from the boxer, you know, Mike Tyson biting, like, who bites? That's not a thing. You wear a mouth guard. And
it's
she had
against
to take it,
the rules.
She had to take it out.
You can't bite someone. It's against the rules.
But I guess that's how savage she is, Mouth. She's willing to go against the rules.
I would love to know see the look on Shayna's face when she was told this is what she was going to do.
Yeah, that would have actually been a very interesting conversation
yep.
of how they sold. I mean, Shayna is not in a place of power to be able to object
no.
to a storyline.
No, but
so
still.
She has to take this. But I could imagine the look on her face going, really? Like, all the work that she's done in the past, what, 2-3 years that she's been there, and you're changing everything that... The bookers of NXT and the character creators, they're because she's a heightened version of herself. I mean,
yes,
the intensity
the
that she has.
That you want.
Yes.
That's what you want. Like, it just seems so weird because we've just seen so many of these NXT failures. But this one, like, is to me, is like one of the biggest ones.
Well, Mouth, listen, she's not the only newbie from NXT that has moved up. Who is in a worse spot? Let me ask you, Shayna Baszler or Riddick Moss?
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, Riddick yeah. Moss shows up. He's Mojo Rawley's sidekick.
Yeah.
He did win the WWE 24/7 title this week, though, by rolling up Mojo Rawley.
Yeah, you're right. That one's pretty bad.
I was actually, I don't know if I was looking forward to what was going to be established in the Robert Stone brand, and he was supposed to be a part of it. And again, could just see his face with going, sorry, what? You're gonna have me chase the 24/7 title,
yeah.
But another person that we saw back on Monday night was unexpectedly, I thought, was MVP,
mm-hmm.
And he's doing the VIP lounge. Where do you see value in MVP right now?
Well,
in what he is currently.
Well, I think something like this.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we can't. You don't want him in the ring. I mean, it was fun to see him for a little bit
sure.
in the Rumble, right? But I don't want him wrestling every week on television. I think he's great. He's a great mouthpiece, right? And I mean, not that. I mean, we already have segments with Alexa Bliss doing one and Miz doing one, but I don't know. I think if you're going to use MVP on your TV, either this or you make him a manager type character or an agent or something where he's got a stable. But I don't think they're probably going to do that. So, I mean, at least this way, he can at least use them in some way.
Pat just wrote in and said Minoru Suzuki also bites people and wanted you to know that.
Oh, but yeah, but that's Minoru Suzuki's character. He's nuts.
I'm just telling you what Pat said.
Oh, yeah, sure. Of course he does. But Minoru Suzuki is psychotic. That's his character. He bends your fingers. He bites people. He's a crazy man. Shayna Baszler is not... Like, she's not like that.
Maybe she is now.
Well, I guess so.
Aleister Black squashed Tozawa this week. Then he cut another incredibly scripted, terrible promo. Mouth, this guy was in the mix of consideration for the opponent of Brock Lesnar
yes.
at WrestleMania, and now he's just sitting in a ring. At least he's out of the dark room. But
he's F-I-L-L-E-R.
Well, I think that there's something to this guy. This is another one going from NXT where he was a good, you know, a character that was silent.
Yes,
he
it was
didn't
interesting.
Need to speak. Immediately he shows up on the main roster and he talks so much sitting in a room.
It was interesting and it was different in NXT. I liked it, but exactly. And now, honestly, when I see he's a fast forward button for me now because it's just I just feel like it's filler. He doesn't have any proper feuds or programs, and he's just kind of there to fill time.
What do you do with him at WrestleMania? Because I feel as though they need
he's
to
on
find...
the pre-show.
Okay, all right.
I don't know. Seriously, Jay, I don't know, unless they heat up a program really fast, but I don't know how you can, because to me, again, he's one of those characters that's gone past the line of me being interested in him, and I just see him as filler now. He's like a Dolph Ziggler almost.
Well, Dolph Ziggler had a big spot this week, actually, because he interrupted the date of Otis and Mandy. Now, do you like this comedy that's happening with Otis and Mandy?
Well, I didn't mind it, but I wanted to see it develop a little bit more rather than... Like, I didn't really like how it played out on SmackDown with Dolph Ziggler thing.
Kind of got ripped off.
I do, too.
You know what I mean?
I was kind of... Because I thought it would be just a fun little segment. They're not main event players.
No,
they're
no.
mid-card. We could have some fun.
Yep.
And I really was actually... All the stuff and her there and him getting ready. And I thought, okay, let's see it. Let's see what they do. And, you know, I thought it would have been a little fun. Now, is it going to be... Now, he's in a tag. He's not going to feud with Dolph Ziggler now, is he?
Well, I mean, let's think about that. Because if there is that possibility, there's two possibilities I see coming out of this. If it is an Otis and Dolph thing that does transpire here, I think that could be good. And the reason why I say that is because ultimately, in the end, he wins over Mandy and wins her. Or Dolph wins and he still somehow gets... No, he has to win. Never mind. He has to win and then get Mandy as well. Dolph will bump for him like crazy.
That's true.
Right?
That is true.
So the selling of Dolph with the big guy, I think that there's some value in that. But the other thing that I could possibly see here is it's two tag teams and it's just Heavy Machinery again versus Rudolph. And to me, that's death.
Yeah.
You see how much less special that is when it's placed in their tag teams? Because then I see them sitting at the same spot
and
in the
again,
roster.
And again, filler.
I see
that as filler, man. I was intrigued with it because they haven't done anything like it. I really like Otis's character. I think he's kind of funny and goofy, and he plays it really well. And I was kind of curious. And those spots they did in the Rumble were like
they were very
to me,
good.
That's what kind of made me more because I thought, hey, that's clever.
Yeah.
You did something clever there.
Yeah.
And so I kind of wanted to see how it was going to play out. When we see Dolph show up, I thought, oh, you got to be kidding.
Yeah. If anything, the date should have been interrupted by a jealous Sonya Deville.
Now that would at least
it makes sense.
Yes,
Sonya's pissed off.
That would be great
because Mandy's not paying attention to their tag team and isn't paying attention to Otis more. And then Sonya's mad and interrupts the date.
They did kind of tease that a little bit the way Sonya wasn't happy with it, right?
Maybe Sonya put maybe it's a mixed tag. And Sonya and Dolph are going to be a team, and Mandy will be a team with Otis.
I don't know.
I would maintain that is better than two tag teams.
But I could see that just being a program on TV, and it's done in 2 weeks or whatever.
Well, maybe. Hulk Hogan was on the TV this week.
Brother.
Yep. This segment did absolutely nothing for me.
It was horrible, I thought. I thought it was really bad.
So let's skip over Hogan. Let's talk about Goldberg. Because this comes down to Goldberg for me. Last week, Mark and I on the show spent a whole bunch of time talking about the fact that Goldberg is going to be against The Fiend. And we came to the conclusion that, I don't know, Goldberg beating The Fiend? But Goldberg beating The Fiend and going on to have a match versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania is a more attractive main event than Roman Reigns and The Fiend.
Yeah. Well, I don't think The Fiend should be anywhere near main event picture, right?
Well, he's got a belt on him, and he's up there. I mean, I guess Brock's main eventing WrestleMania, unless they're... No, Brock is going to main event... Who... Is it going to be Brock and Drew? Is that your WrestleMania main event?
Well, I would think he's a more prestigious... I mean, he's the champion I think they'll focus on rather than The Fiend.
I guess it's Brock and Drew.
I would think so.
And if it is Brock and Drew, do you believe, and I asked Mark this last week, do you believe Drew goes over Brock to get The Rocket attached to him? They need some sort of star.
They do. I would say yes. I think he should. I mean, losses are not going to hurt Brock, and he's only in once in a while anyways, and who knows? This could even be the end for Brock, right?
No, it's not the end for Brock. Goldberg is coming back, Mouth.
Goldberg and The Fiend, it's just going to be so bad in the ring. It's going to be horrible.
I'm just saying, people don't seem to go away, and we've got more news about people coming back, and we're going to do the news pack next before we get into talking about all this, because if you think Goldberg coming back is a surprise, well, there's a couple more characters that you're going to see on the Mania card, and we'll tell you about that when we come back. So the news pack is next. Then we'll do a bit of chat about AEW. Meltzer still to come. Turnbuckle trivia as well. Lots of stuff. We are live tonight after the NXT TakeOver pay-per-view. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event, doing so on TSN Radio.
That's it for the free edition of Sunday Night's Main Event, but let's face it, there is a whole nother hour waiting for you to listen to at our Patreon, and for this month, it is free. All you have to do is sign up to the Buck a Show level at patreon.com/SNMEradio. Give it a try.